thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. I have some really, really great news for you this morning. It comes from Psalm 27. These are terrific verses. Absolutely terrific verses that you want to keep in your Bible. You want to be able to read these. It's on page 543 in the church Bibles. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fail. Though an army encamp about me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies, all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, I do seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they will breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Pray with me. Dear Father, like David, we also face battles. Sometimes the battles are from within. Sometimes the battles are from the outside forces and foes. One thing we declare together, no matter the enemy, you are for us. Help us to cling to that truth. We seek your face. When we rush to resolve our battles, you say, wait. When we grow impatient, you say, wait upon me. Teach us your ways. Your ways are always best. Help us to take a long view of life. Forgive us when we make knee-jerk reactions against those who look to harm us by word or deed. Their opinions of us does not really matter. Their deeds will not prevail over us. You turn evil directed at us around and cause all things to work together for our good. It is you, God, to whom we look for our vindication. Thank you for the promise of eternal life in your glorious presence. Help us to live with that perspective in mind, Lord. May you guide our pastor as he preaches your word to the effect of building disciples of us, your church, the bride of Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
There's a story that's told off the coast of Scotland. And if you know anything about the weather and the oceans near the northern part of Scotland, you know that it could be treacherous. And the story goes like this. There was a ship sailing near the coast of Scotland, and all of a sudden the storm and the winds picked up, and the captain believed that the ship was going to go down. And he commanded all his sailors to sail near the coast in order to try to find an alcove for it to protect them. And all the sailors said, "It'll be impossible to control our ship. If anything, we will crash against the rocks." The winds were howling. It was pitch black. They couldn't see anything in front of them. However, they knew that they were in peril. And all of a sudden, they heard the voice of one of the sailors. And he, he saw a light in the distance. And also, and that news traveled from one sailor to the other. Eventually, the captain heard the news, and he instructed all the sailors to point the ship towards the lighthouse. Now, there at the tip of Scotland, there's this old lighthouse built on these rocks. Its foundation has never been shaken. It's been beaten by the storms. And night after night, that light leads all those ships into the port. And Psalm 27 is just like that lighthouse, that when you are in the storms of life, Psalm 27 leads you home. Psalm 27 reminds you of all the past victories. Psalm 27 is one that sets you up so that you would be able to face a current struggle. It is a great psalm. It's a psalm of encouragement. It's a psalm of worshiping God. It's a psalm of saying, you know what? God takes my failures And in the midst of it,
we win.
Right? It's a great psalm. Now, let me just give you a little tool to help you understand Psalm 27. Verses 1 through 6 is really about celebrating what God had done in David's past, right? So if you're somebody that looks at Scripture with a very critical eye, you're going to notice that any references to the Lord is in the third person, right? Because it's referencing something that has happened. However, from verses 7 through 14, it addresses God in the presence. And you'll notice that between verses 1 and 6 and 7 and 14, it's almost as if the psalm takes a different tone from celebrating to our shortcomings and how we fail as believers. And many throughout the years felt that these were two psalms because they're so drastically different, just put together. And even though that might be true, here's what I would like to offer you, and it's what most commentators would believe today also, and that is that these two differences is really a reflection of how you and I relate with God. At one moment, we can have faith, and the next moment, we lose it and we fail, right? So that's how I would like to present this to you as we dive into this psalm, this great psalm, right? So, of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Immediately, what you see here, right, is that the Lord, as we've been going through the Psalms, anytime that it's capitalized, it's a reflection of Yahweh, the one who keeps his covenant promises. You know that God, in keeping his promises, regardless of how many times we break our promise, he will never break his promise. He's faithful. And David, seeking and remembering that God, the one who made a promise, he says, he is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Right? All of a sudden, you have a picture of faith and fear in this position of juxtaposition, right? And they're there together. Some would say that if you have fear, you can't have faith. But let me tell you, as believers, you know, right, that when we fear, all of a sudden that fear forces us to seek God in a way that we would have never sought God. But all of a sudden, David is using a phrase, right? The Lord is my light. Most places throughout the Old Testament, that phrase is used to describe an attribute of God. However, when you read it here, this is actually an extension of God's name. He is my light. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. He is the one who is trustworthy. He is the one that will never fail. He is the one that has been constant in my life. He is the one that is like a lighthouse that will bring me home every single time, as long as I am willing to seek him. And it is that title of my light that then we hear in Isaiah 49, verse 6, Because that phrase then points to Jesus, who is the light of the world. And then later, it's also fulfilled, I believe, in Acts 13, verse 47. Is he your light, your salvation, your stronghold? Ask yourself, as you take an inventory of all of your interactions with God throughout your life, is he that for you? Right? Because here's what David is doing in these first six verses. He is celebrating what God has done in the past. Do you stop and celebrate what God has done in your past? Or do you leave them behind, and the next time you think about them is when you're in your next struggle? Because as a believer, when you find yourself fearful, you could either succumb to the pressure of the fear, or it can drive you right to the presence of God, to the foot of the cross, and say, Lord, none of this is beyond you. You are my God. Even when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversary and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Right? He's remembering. He's remembering all those times where he was attacked. And as long as he had a relationship with God, he's saying, you know what? They're the ones that are going to stumble. They're the ones that are going to fall, not me. Because when I look at my life, you know what? God came through every single time. Right? It's, you know, sometimes you feel as if he's not coming fast enough, right? That if he was to move a little bit quicker, maybe our hearts wouldn't be so angst, right? But when you stop and you reflect, it's almost as if his timing is always perfect. And here's the thing about this psalm, right? It's like, when evildoers assail me, it's going to happen. It's not like it's not going to happen. Right, the picture here, it's going to happen, right? It's not as if you can say, you know what, I am above it and these things are not going to happen to me. That's just a lie, right? The thing is, if you're a human being living on this earth and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, trouble is coming your way, right? And you should not be surprised when it does. Though an army encamps against me, my heart shall not fear. The war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Right? To be confident. To allow yourself to see the attack that is coming against you. And to know that regardless of what happens, your confidence is in God and God alone. Right? For some of us, it's about the loss of a job, the loss of our health, the loss of certain relationships, right? The idea that gossip is happening and they're talking about you. Right, that's a form of war coming against you and me. And here's what David says, right? So what? Right? To have confidence. Right? And here's the thing, right? Con, when you look at that word, is to be with. Right? And if you was to look up fidens in the English dictionary, there is no word for that, but in the Latin, right, Here's what you get, right? God, confidence, right? So when you look at with confidence, it's with God, with faith, something that builds you up as you walk your faith out in front of this world. To have confidence, not in yourself, but to have confidence in the one who is always victorious, the one who has conquered everything for you. Like sometimes we look at life and we look at these battles that you and I face, sometimes on a regular basis, and we diminish by our actions the very victory that Jesus Christ conquered for you and for me. Right? Because what he did was to conquer sin and death so that our relationship with our Heavenly Father would be restored. Right? To have confidence in that, to be reminded of what Romans 8 tells us, right? If God is for us, who could be against us? Right? Ask yourself that, right? Who's greater than God? Right? No one is. God is our confidence. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and acquire in his temple. Here's the amazing thing about the beginning of verse 4. It starts with contemplation and it ends with acquiring, asking, right? Thinking about and then asking, seeking. And you and I know that during David's time, the temple, the physical building of the temple was not built. That was built during Solomon's time. So this is the tabernacle, right? The tent. And because David was not a priest, he was not allowed to go into, right, the temple. But it doesn't stop him from asking the very thing that he desires, right? To seek after God. Let me ask you, do you seek after God that way? Do you seek God from the point of view that I want to be in his house all the days of my life? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, right? Ask yourself, how many things do you and I experience every single day that we believe is beautiful? That we assign that phrase, boy, that's beautiful. But beauty that you and I experience is only a reflection of the greater beauty of our God. To be in his temple, right? And here's the thing, right? It's David, right? He is saying, you know what? You are my light. You are my salvation. You are my stronghold, right? I'm remembering all of these times, Lord, that you and you alone showed up in my life. And I just want to be in your presence. Here's the thing about the Middle East, even today. If you go out in the desert and you find a Bedouin encampment, right, and if they welcome you in, right? So as a guest, you would be under the protection of the Father, the household. Right? And so if anybody comes to attack you, they will sacrifice their own sons in order to protect you. Right? That's even today in their culture. Right? And so this is the very place David wants to be, in God's protection. Right? To be in his presence. For he will hide me in the shelter in the days of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. It is God who protects. And David is remembering all of those moments where he was protected by God. And here's what I would say for some of you who love to do word studies. If you go throughout the Old Testament and anytime there's a reference of a rock, right? A lot of times a rock reference is a reference to God himself, right? And just like that lighthouse was set upon a rock, a foundation, and it hasn't been moved for years, our faith in Jesus Christ is built on that rock, right? And that rock is never going to be moved, and it is that rock that he is set upon. It reminds us of that other psalm, right? That the Lord picked me up out of the muck and mire and set my feet upon a rock. Many would see and fear. He put a new hymn, a song in my mouth to worship God, right? He is our foundation. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemy and around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. And I will sing and make a melody to the Lord. Right. Notice that he is referencing what he's going to do because of what God has done. And it's to worship. To worship God. He's not worried about the enemies, right? Because God is going to help take care of those. But to worship, right? You ask yourself, if we had an opportunity to do the whole worship set all over again, would your volume change in your act of worship to God, knowing of what God has accomplished for you and for me? To give shouts of joy and not worry about what the person next to you is saying, or whether they go, man, I wish they were quiet. They're singing out of tune, right? It's like, but just to sing, right? And to lift up worship to God, right? So remember, here's where it all changes, right? This has been all about remembering, celebrating, worshiping, right? And all of a sudden, now this is where some would say it's our failure that now pushes us to seek God. It's David's failure and shortcoming that it's like, it turns into a prayer of asking God to do something again, right? To show up one more time. A failure. Have you in life felt like a failure? That you blew it? Right? Every life in Scripture, I would say a good majority of them, there's a moment in their lives where they fail miserably. Right? And it's at that moment that God steps in and all of a sudden does something amazing in their lives. When we look at individuals who do experiments like Edison, as he was trying to discover how to make a light bulb work, and he had many failures, and he would say, that those thousands of ways that did not work was his affirmation of that there is a different way that it's going to work, But it didn't stop him, It didn't discourage him. And here's the thing about failure, if you have faith in God, all of a sudden faith in God lifts you above your failures. It's the very thing that drives you forward. It's the very thing that leads you to believe that if God did it in the past, he could do it again. And even if he doesn't show up, I'm still going to be okay. And hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You did it once in the past. Do it again for me now. David does something amazing, He uses God's own words because he wants to be thrusted into the presence of God, He says, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. You hear it? It's David saying, your word says, seek you. So I'm seeking you. My heart now is seeking you. And you can hear the tone change. He's in need of something from God. He needs God to show up one more time. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. David knows. He didn't live a perfect life. He knew he blew it every once in a while with the Lord, but he also knew that God was gracious. He was one that was willing to extend forgiveness. Oh, you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Don't turn aside from me, But be there again for me, just like you've been in the past. Be that light that leads me home. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. And for some of us, we've had our struggles with our moms and dads. Things have not been perfect, And sometimes our parents are disappointing. Sometimes they do fall short, But he says, Lord, even though they have fallen short, you have not fallen short. Take me in. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemy. This is an amazing phrase, Because here's what David is saying. He's saying, don't so much eliminate my enemies. However, give me a flat place to stand on for when I fight them. Can you see that? He's saying, give me a level path so that my feet could be secure right? When I fight my enemies, right? It's not so much that God is going to do it for him, but God's going to enable him to do it. Right? Sometimes we're looking for God to do more of the battle, knowing that there is a part of my own life that I have to sacrifice. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. But here's what God says. I'll be with you every step of the way. And here's what I'm going to do. Your foundation is going to be flat. It's not going to be uneven. It's not going to be shaky, right? But you're going to be able to stand firm, right, and make this attack. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and they breathe out violence. Right? There's always people in your life and in my life who always got something not nice to say about you and me. Right? There's always something out there. And here's when it hurts the most, when it happens in the church. Right? Because we are under the illusion, well, it shouldn't happen here, right? It shouldn't happen here. But we're sinners, and we know it, right? And sometimes sinners don't want to take responsibility for the things that they do, and we mess up. And that's why we need grace upon grace, because at no time does that mean that we are above it all. But here's what David is, right? Don't give me up, right, to my own selfish desires, right, as I'm getting attacked, right? Because let me tell you, right, as your pastor, right, I'm going to give you a little insight into my life, right? You don't want to be in my brain when I'm upset, right? Because sometimes what runs through my head is not healthy, right? And sometimes it's like I want to do not good things to people that hurt me or my family, right? And all of a sudden it's like, Lord, why am I thinking these things? And it's because I'm a sinner in need of saving, and God reminds me, right? It's like, yeah, Jose, don't go that way. Don't do that, Jose, right? Because if you were in my head, you would go, and you're a pastor, right? But God is the one who is faithful, right? And sometimes my prayer is, Lord, don't give me up to my own selfish desires. Help me not to respond in a very ungodly way to those accusations. Lord, help me that when I respond to this email, help me not to hit the send letter, the send button. Right? Right? Your problems and my problems would go away if we didn't send that text message or that email. Right? Well, I guess some of you identify with that. Let me tell you, right? It's a key that should be eliminated from our devices, right? Because it would eliminate a lot of headaches, right? But there are people that are just looking to create trouble in your life and in my life, and right, and God wants us to be above all of that. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Right? It's amazing that David would use this phrase, right? Because not only do I believe he's saying, right, in the congregation that gathers, right? But in the Hebrew, that phrase, the land of the living, is also the land of eternal life in heaven, right? That he has his eyes set upon those promises that God made in the Old Testament. Wait for the Lord. Right? How hard is it for you to wait? Right, to wait, right? Let me tell you, when my wife and I took our kids to Disney, right, and all of a sudden we would have to stand on the lines of those rides, right? I do not like waiting, right? Because here's the thing, when you're waiting on those lines, you got to deal with all those other people that are waiting, right? And sometimes that could be aggravating, especially when the ride is under a minute long, right? But wait for the Lord, be strong. Let not let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord, right? And here's the thing, right? It's if you seek him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will give you everything you need in order to wait. And wait well. Right, so as we kind of wrap up our time with Psalm 27, here's a few things that you can take with you. Right? You should have confidence in God. Right, because it isn't so much of what you have done, but it's all because of what he has done, right? And he's there for you if you seek him, if you look for him, if you press in, right? So not only should you have confidence, right? May we abide in his light. Allow his light to lead us home. Help us not to be distracted by the things of this world, but let him be that lighthouse. May we long for him. Not just when you do your devotionals, not just when you think of, oh, I should have prayed, right? But long for him every moment of every part of your day where you're seeking him. Where you're seeking his beauty, where you're saying, you know what, I want to dwell in his tent to be with. And then lastly, that we would need him. Right? That we would seek him. Right? There's so many other things in life that we believe we need, right? But the one thing we need more than anything is God. God and God alone. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful. Grateful that you are our light, our salvation, our stronghold. That you are a God who has been faithful, not only through our life, but through the pages of there in Scripture, you've been faithful. And Lord, we're grateful that regardless of what we do, none of that changes who you are as God. So Lord, I just pray for your grace, your mercy to be with my brothers and sisters. And may they hold on to Psalm 27. And in reality, they're holding on to you, our God. We thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.